Hades gave a short half-bark with his own grumble at the end. I smiled. Even Hades agreed this was nuts.
"Relax, Hades. She's not going to fall," Isaac said.
Hades grumbled again, but stopped. He turned his attention back to me.
"Okay. Now to move, shift your front foot until it's straight. Just like when you're walking."
I shifted my foot, still holding on to his shoulders.
"Good. Now use your other foot to push off on the ground. Again, just like walking."
He was using his instructor voice now. I lowered my leg and gave a small push.
"Good."
He moved with me.
"Now, bring your back foot onto the back of the board, shifting your front foot sideways on the board at the same time, if you can."
I did as he said, wobbling a bit. He steadied me again.
"This is the ride position. After pushing, you always come back to this position. This is where you do all your tricks,"
he said, still holding on. I looked up at him doubtfully. "I doubt I'll be doing any tricks." He smirked.
"You never know."
He looked down at my feet.
"Let's just get you used to moving."
Isaac kept a hand on my lower back or hip as I slowly moved around the area.
"Okay. Big push and glide."
I did as he said, then started listing to the left. I tried to correct only to start falling forward. Isaac became the only thing that kept me on the board. "Yep, no tricks for me," I stated as I clung to his shoulders. He chuckled as he made sure I got off the skateboard safely. He picked up the board before we walked over to sit on the bench so we could watch the other skaters.
"Thanks for coming out, Red,"
Isaac said.
"I feel like I don't get to see you much anymore."
"You see me every day," I pointed out. He looked down at the ground.
"You know what I mean."
I bumped his shoulder with mine. He bumped back. "Yeah, I do." I wrapped my arm around his and gave him a squeeze. "Ethan does have a habit of hogging the car."
"You're telling me,"
he muttered. I shook his arm. He looked down at me. "You know you only have to call me to go somewhere." He gave my arm a squeeze.
"That's not really better."
"Is that how you started skateboarding? It was faster than walking?" I asked, curious. He looked back out to the crowd.
"Nah, Ethan actually started skateboarding when we were 9. He learned pretty fast, too. Then he taught me."
"Ethan knew how to skateboard? That doesn't bother his back?" He moved his arm so he could take my hand.
"He can't anymore."
I gave him a sad smile. "That's why you let him have the car more, because you could always skateboard."
"Or ride a bike, yeah."
He scratched his eyebrow, his face pensive. "You miss skateboarding with him," I said softly. He just squeezed my hand.
"Red, leave it,"
he said quietly. I rested my head on his shoulder. "So, what exactly were you doing in the empty swimming pool?" He smiled, then began explaining to me what I was seeing. We talked for a couple hours about nothing and everything. With Isaac, every conversation was always different. We never stuck to one subject. We bounced around wherever the conversation took us. I didn't realize how late it was getting until my phone rang. It was Rory. "Hey, Rory."
"Hey, kid. I forgot some things at the store. Can you stop by and pick them up?"
Rory asked. "Sure. Hit me." I listened to the short list that happened to include buns and chips. When I got off the phone, I turned to Isaac. "Wanna go shopping with me?" He grinned.
"Sure."
He picked up his skateboard and got to his feet.
"Let's go."
When we pulled up to the house, we had the groceries that Rory had asked me to pick up. The street was already lined with cars, I knew. I climbed out, grabbing as many bags as I could carry. Isaac got the rest as I headed for the door. Once I opened the door, Ethan got up from the couch to take several bags from me. "Thanks. Where is everyone?" I asked as I got out of Isaac's way. Ethan headed to the kitchen.
"They're outside. Miles and Asher are already here. So are Ma and Aunt Anna."
Isaac took his bags into the kitchen and set them down. He winked at me before heading upstairs, probably for the bathroom. Are the kids driving Rory crazy yet? I asked, as I began pulling large bags of chips from a bag. Ethan chuckled.
Nope. He's actually out there playing with them.
I shook my head as we threw the bags away. Ethan turned to me and eyed me.
Nice hair, beautiful.
I smiled back. Thanks. It feels about 10 pounds lighter. I picked up several chip bags while Ethan picked up the buns. We headed out back to the others. Rory had set up a couple of long tables and folding chairs on the patio. He was busy playing with the 4-year-old twins. Amelia was sitting in his lap while they played a game with his fingers. Isabel was watching intently from Tara's lap. I looked around for the boys. Rory must have given Mateo and Marcos fishing poles since they were fishing off the end of the dock. Ethan was called over by his mom. I put the chips down and looked for the other guys. I found Asher at the grill with Miles. Asher was talking while Miles listened. I grabbed a soda from the cooler and headed over to see them. Miles was the first to look up.
Lexi, your hair suits you,
Miles offered, his ears turning pink. Thanks, I said with a grin. He smiled as I looked at the grill. So how long until food is ready?
About 5 minutes,
Asher said as he flipped the burgers on the grill. Good. I'm hungry.
How was the skate park?
Miles asked. I turned to him. It was kind of fun, I said as I popped the top on my soda, until I almost fell on my ass. The guys chuckled.
Things are usually fun until then,
Ethan pointed out as he joined us. I shrugged. The back door opened. Zeke and Isaac came out arguing. Out of the corner of my eye, I noticed Tara's posture straightened.
She didn't fall,
Isaac snapped. Zeke shot him a look.
Put a helmet on her next time,
he growled. Isaac rolled his eyes as he headed towards us. Zeke dropped off a large plastic closed bowl on the table before coming over.
What's got you all pissy?
Ethan asked.
Interacting with people. I've hit my quota for the day,
Zeke countered, his voice dry. I snorted.
Did Sylvie send that garden salad over?
Asher asked.
Yeah, it's on the table,
he bit out. His shoulders were tense, and he kept clenching and unclenching his jaw. I met Zeke's eyes. It's a barbecue. Stop growling, I ordered. He shot me a look that told me it wasn't likely. Please? The look went away as he sighed.
Fine,
he muttered. I'll go get the ketchup, mustard, and all from the kitchen. I turned to walk away. Miles fell into step beside me, his fingers tapping that staccato rhythm on his thigh. What was going on? When we were inside loading our arms up, I finally asked, did something happen while I was gone?
No, it's just...
He hesitated.
It's Tara. She tried to, well, interrogate me earlier.
I narrowed my eyes at him. About what? Miles shrugged.
She was jumping subjects. She didn't stick to any specific subject, but she wouldn't stop asking me questions until Asher arrived.
That's weird, I thought out loud as I closed the fridge.
Though she kept asking about your bloody noses and that party in October,
he informed me. Huh, I muttered. Why would she suddenly care? Miles opened the back door and held it for me.
I have no idea,
he said softly, as we walked to the table where everyone was grabbing chairs. I took a spot between Miles and Maria. The twins were down the table with their cousins, trying to keep the chaos at a minimum. Asher and Zeke sat across from us. Tara immediately took the chair to Zeke's right. Hi, Zeke. How have you been? Tara greeted cheerfully. Zeke's posture grew rigid. Ever since Zeke punched a guy out at a party for her, it seemed Tara had started thinking of him as some kind of knight in shining armor, even though before that night she had never even acknowledged his existence. Now, she couldn't seem to stop paying attention to him.
Fine,
he muttered as he passed down the buns. I started getting my bun ready for my hot dog. How was your week? Tara asked. That was just the start. As everyone ate, laughed, and visited, Tara flirted with Zeke. I tried to ignore it and smile, but it wasn't easy, especially when Tara reached over and touched Zeke's forearm. He immediately pulled his arm out from under her hand. I glanced over and met his eyes, then quickly looked away. I couldn't pretend it didn't bother me. It did, but I didn't really have the right to be jealous. Yeah, we kissed. But since then? Nothing. I focused on eating and talking whenever I had something to add to the conversation. Eventually, the table broke up. Zeke took Mateo and Marcus to the dock to show them a better way to fish. Tara followed. Asher and Miles went off to watch the four-year-olds, while Ethan and Isaac were talking with their Aunt Anna. I, on the other hand, started gathering plates and silverware to take inside. I couldn't watch Tara hitting on Zeke anymore. Why did she need to hit on my friends anyway? She's pretty and rather popular. I'm sure she could get any guy she wanted at school. So why did she have to go after one of mine? I paused at the back door. Mine? Zeke wasn't mine. Neither were Asher and Miles. I needed to stop thinking that way. I started adding the dishes to the left sink as I began to fill the right with rinsing water. What the hell was wrong with me? Three guys? Really, Lexi? I sighed wearily as I shut off the water and started washing the plates first. I was lost in thought when the back door opened. I looked over my shoulder. A scowling Zeke was striding through the great room.
Your cousin is annoying the fuck out of me, he growled.
Sorry, I offered. He glanced over his shoulder.
I'll see you tomorrow.
He all but slammed the front door behind him. I bit back a smile and went back to the dishes. A part of me wanted to laugh. Another part of me was just glad Zeke wasn't interested in Tara, or Asher, or Miles. I sighed. What the hell was wrong with me?
Ethan. I was on stage, playing my heart out for the crowd. Instead of cheering, they were booing. Saying, fuck it, we stopped playing and headed off stage. Cursing, I took off my guitar and resisted the urge to throw it once I got into the backstage area. The area was empty. The other guys were somewhere else. I turned towards the back doors and froze. Sophie was standing there in her jeans and shirt, her hair the way she always had it, down and wild. Sophie? My voice shook. She smiled up at me with her amber eyes. Hi, Eth. You're here, I said, stunned. She stepped closer. Yeah, I'm here. And you need to listen. I blinked down at her. That didn't sound like my Sophie. She sounded older. You need to let me go. I began shaking my head. You don't get it. Eth, you need to let me go, she repeated. Please, for me. I shook my head again. How could I let her go? With Isaac, the way he was, I couldn't. Suddenly I was shivering. The backstage was covered in a layer of ice. Sophie was crestfallen. I didn't understand. I jerked awake, gasping as I looked up at my ceiling. My breath was fog in the air. My room was freezing. I pulled my blankets over me and waited as I had the other nights. For the last week, I've woken up to my room freezing cold. That's all the ghost ever did. Freeze my room and knock over my guitars. I rolled over to check on them. All four of them were still in their stands, but this cold wasn't good for them. The air started warming again. I sighed. I was getting tired of this bullshit. I needed to get Lexi to move this fucker on. I'd ask her tomorrow. I quickly fell back to sleep.
Chapter 7. Monday morning. I hurried to the cemetery. My stupid alarm hadn't gone off and I was running late. I pulled up to the group of souls and jumped out, pulling off my bracelets as I strode towards them. What I saw had me slowing down. A ghost was being held by one of the others. What in the fresh hell? I stopped at the grass line. What's going on? I asked. The skin on his face seemed to be melting off, his flesh peeling away from his neck. Mr. Davis struggled with the rotting soul.
It's Martin. He's taken in too much of the energy.
He's rotting out, I finished for him. There's nothing I can do for him. Get him out of here. Mr. Davis met my gaze, then let go. Fucking asshole. My heart slammed as the rotting soul ran straight for me. I pulled my will to me and waited. My skin tingled as if electricity ran over it. He was almost on me.
No,
I growled, whipping out my will like a whip. His feet went out from under him. Then he hit the grass. I threw that golden thread around one of his wrists and dropped immediately. He fought me. He cursed, clawed, and howled, but I held on. My drop slowed. It was because of him. I cursed. I pictured myself getting heavier and heavier. We started to fall again. Then I yanked hard. The soul slammed into me. His nails dug in. I deflected and tried to direct us to the veil while keeping his hands off of me. Eventually, I managed to wrap the golden thread around both his wrists. When we hit the grass, we hit hard. The air was knocked out of my lungs as I hit. I rolled onto my back and forced my lungs to work. When I could, I sat up. The ghost wasn't being held by me anymore. The veil had grown vines that wrapped around his wrists and legs. All the plants near him reached out for him. I watched, dumbfounded, as the vines all but covered Martin's rotted soul. A shudder rocked the veil, almost throwing me back to the grass. I knelt there, stunned, as the vines shimmered, grew thicker. Martin was screaming. All the greenery around him changed. Thicker grass sprung up, vines wrapped around a burnt stump and kept growing till they bloomed. Holy shit! The vines were draining the energy from him. I knelt, frozen where I was. Just as I started to worry that it might drain him too much, his screaming stopped. The vines dropped away, showing me a normal, healthy soul. His stunned gaze was on his shaking hands. When those gray eyes met mine, he smiled.
Wow, he said. What just happened?
I got to my feet. Apparently, the veil drained you of all the extra energy you absorbed. He eyed me.
Did you know it could do that?
No, I bit out.
Then what were you going to do?
He snapped. I didn't exactly get a chance to figure it out, I shouted back. In case it missed your notice, they just threw you at me. They could have fucking killed me. Movement out of the corner of my eye told me that a door had come for him. I ignored him and looked at my body. I had scratches on my arms and shoulders. Please don't let me have them in the physical world. Otherwise, Zeke was going to be pissed. I looked up in time to watch that ball of light shoot up into the way. You're welcome, I shouted, completely irritated. What a dick. I closed my eyes and pulled myself out. The cemetery was just how I left it. I quickly looked down, then cursed a blue streak. The scratches came with me. Shit. I took a deep breath, then looked at Mr. Davis. I managed to get him across, but don't you ever fucking do that again, I growled. That hurt like hell. I turned away to head toward the blazer.
What about the rest of us?
Someone shouted.
Fuck you,
I shouted over my shoulder before climbing into the blazer. I drove off, still furious that they had thrown a rotting soul at me. Did they ask me to try? No, they just went and did it. The dead were pushing it more and more. It was time to start pushing back. I had just turned off the blazer when it hit me. I had just crossed a rotting soul. I sat there for a full 3 minutes, just absorbing that. I hadn't even known that was possible. If I can cross a rotting soul? I grabbed my bag and ran to meet the guys. I met them at our usual table outside. They saw me coming. Everyone got to their feet as if to come to me. I reached the table first. I managed to cross a rotting ghost this morning, I announced. Their mouths dropped. Rotting like Mary Summers. Miles was the first to recover.
That's amazing, Lexi.
The others began to say similar things when Zeke growled over at them.
What happened to your arms?
I looked down at them. Blood streaked my arms and was still dripping from other scratches. He put up a bit of a fight, but once I got him to the veil just sucked the extra energy right out of him. Then he was himself again. I kept my voice light, wanting him to focus on what I was telling him.
Asher, do you have your first aid kit?
Miles asked. Asher opened his bag and pulled out a small box. Everyone sat back down, including me. You guys know what this means, right? I asked, as Miles pulled out antiseptic wipes.
It means you can cross the really bad cases,
Asher offered.
Which is great news, but they can hurt you in the process,
Zeke added. I hissed as Miles hit a particularly deep scratch. Sorry, but it needs to be cleaned out, Miles told me. I didn't argue. I sat there as they watched me get patched up. When he was done, I had several band-aids covering my arms along with one really long scratch on my inner forearm that ran to my wrist. Guys, I crossed a rotting soul, I reiterated. Let's focus on the good.
You're right, Miles said. It's amazing that you got him to the veil.
The others agreed, except Zeke. Zeke was quiet. The bell rang for first period. I picked up my bag and got up.
I'll take her to history,
Zeke announced.
Asher, do you want to take her to English?
I tuned them out as they decided who would walk me to English. Yeah, I was going out on my own now, but here in the overcrowded halls, I still needed a little help. Everyone split up. Zeke walked beside me in silence to history. At the door, his eyes ran over me one more time before leaving for his own class. He really didn't like the scratches. Everything went on normally until it was near the end of English. Our teacher, Mrs. Hayes, asked me to see her at her desk in the back before I left. Wondering if something was wrong with my latest essay, I walked back to her desk when there were a couple minutes left of class. Mrs. Hayes was a small woman. She'd given birth to a healthy boy in January, and she still had a little roundness to her body. She eyed my arms, her face concerned.
Lexi, what happened to your arms?
She asked quietly, as if I didn't want this to be overheard. I petted a friend's cat's belly one too many times and it got even, I lied. Her worried eyes met mine.
You can talk to me if you need to, she said. I was stunned for a whole 5 seconds. Shit.
I didn't cut myself, I stated. A cat got me. She still had that worried look in her eyes as she nodded.
All right. I just wanted to check on you.
She went back to her computer. The bell rang. Irritated, I went back to my desk and slung my backpack over my shoulder. When I stepped out into the hallway, Eric was waiting. His brown hair was still short, but not shaggy anymore. He still had enough that I could tell he used something to keep it up and back that way. He had a nice open face, a pointed chin and angled jaw. His amber-colored eyes were killer, though. Too bad he was kind of a dick and had an issue with who I was friends with. At least he was pretty to look at until he opened his mouth.
No giant bodyguards today?
Eric asked with a smirk. Go fuck yourself, I snapped as I walked past him and down the hall. Before he could say anything else, I was out of earshot. What the hell was his problem anyway? And why did he have to express his opinion every chance he got? Putting it out of my mind, I headed for the buses for the trip to Missoula. From the long line, it looked like I was running behind. Thankfully, Ethan had said he'd hold the seat for me. I got in line behind a couple of girls and waited until I reached the teacher. Mrs. Archer was a bird of a woman, thin and always moving. This morning, she seemed to be fluttering in excitement.
Ah, Alexis, good, she said. I think you'll learn a lot from this trip.
That's the hope, I said.
She checked off my name as I climbed inside. The bus was almost packed. The noise, annoying. I spotted Ethan in the middle on the right side. I dropped down next to him.
Hey, Snoopy.
Hey, beautiful.
He ran his eyes over me.
Are you okay?
I sighed. My English teacher thinks I'm cutting myself. Ethan raised an eyebrow at me. I shook my head and continued. I know. Then, on my way out the door, Eric asked about my giant bodyguards.
What did you tell him?
He asked, grinning. I might have told him to go fuck himself, I admitted. He chuckled.
I love the way you tell people off, beautiful.
Ethan bumped his shoulder into mine. I bumped back.
We're going to be away from the guys for several hours,
he pointed out, a mischievous light in his eyes. Let's try not to get suspended, I suggested. His smirk probably should have had me worried, but I was actually looking forward to some time with Ethan. The Missoula Art Museum was full of classic and modern art, which meant there were many paintings, photos, sculptures, engravings, even textiles. I was practically jumping up and down in happiness. Mrs. Archer had us go through the basic tour. Then she let us explore on our own. Ethan walked with me from painting to painting, listening as I talked about the ones I liked, what I saw in them or what other people might see in them. It wasn't until my voice grew raspy and I took a drink from my water bottle that I realized I had been rambling on. Ethan had a small grin on his face as he met my eyes. I've been talking a long time, haven't I? I asked, cringing. He smiled gently.
I like listening to you talk about art,
he admitted.
You don't do it enough.
Because I go on and on until someone stops me. I looked up at the next painting.
More like you get excited,
he corrected.
And you're cute when you're excited.
I turned to look up at him to see if he was joking. He looked down at me with warm eyes. He wasn't. My heart gave a hard thump. Is there anything you wanted to see? He shook his head.
Not really.
I turned back to look at the landscape in front of us. Why did you sign up for an art museum field trip if there was nothing you wanted to see? He chuckled as we moved through the room.
Well, it did get me out of classes for the day.
I smiled. Ooh, good point.
The other reason I came was because you were looking forward to it,
he said. I slowed to a stop, then turned around. Ethan stepped closer, his spicy cologne surrounding me.
You got really excited about this trip.
His eyes ran over my face before meeting mine again.
And you don't get excited about a lot of things anymore. I wanted to see what you were so passionate about.
I didn't know what to say. What were you supposed to say to that? Feeling awkward, I was naturally a smartass. And now you're bored to tears and counting the seconds until you can go home? He chuckled as he looked over at the painting.
Not really, but I think I get why you like art as much as you like music now.
I turned and moved on to the next piece. This one was a black and white photo of a church in France. Why is that? I asked, quietly. He kept pace with me, staying close.
Because it expresses something that people are afraid to say out loud.
We came to another painting. He pulled me to a stop.
And everyone sees something different. For instance,
he pointed at the painting in front of us.
What do you see in this one?
I licked my lips and looked up at the painting. It was of a young woman in a gown simply sitting in a dark room. It was interesting. I looked over the painting and thought about it. I see a woman waiting for the axe to fall. Ethan stepped closer until he was behind me, his breath slipping through my hair. The museum faded as his hands went to my shoulders.
Why is that?
He asked, in that smooth, soft, smoky voice he rarely used. She's sitting in the dark. It looks like she's been crying. Her makeup is smudged. It looks like she's half-dressed. She's in her corset and skirt, as if she doesn't want to be vulnerable to whatever happens next. I said softly.
I can see that,
he admitted quietly.
Do you want to know what I see?
Yeah.
The woman I see is tired. She's had a hard time, but she's not taking off her clothes.
His voice was light and soft in my ear.
It's morning, and she stopped in the middle of getting dressed to take a minute to give herself time to think about what she'll face that day, to remind herself that she can handle whatever is coming at her.
He squeezed my shoulders gently as his voice slid through my ears. My eyes burned as he continued,
I see a woman getting ready to fight again, and I think that's why the artist painted it, to show her strength.
I bit my bottom lip hard to push back the tears. It helped.
Or she's been dancing all night drunk, and she's sitting down because her feet hurt,
he added lightly. I chuckled as he squeezed my shoulders again before he continued.
There's a lot of interpretations for a song, just like with a painting.
I guess that makes sense, I said. I pulled my eyes from the painting to look up at him. You know, we might actually know what the artist wanted to show if we get the audio tour for the entire museum. He grinned down at me.
But it's fun making up stories for them,
he protested. I smiled and shook my head at him.
I'll go get them. Stay here.
Ethan headed towards the front of the museum. I turned back to the painting again, trying to see it the way he had. The darkness around her eyes could be bags from not enough sleep. She could have just had her corset cinched and was sitting for a moment. I liked Ethan's interpretation better than mine. I was deep in thought when someone stepped close to me. I instantly stepped to the side and moved into a better defensive position.
Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you,
he said. He was definitely a high school student. Dark blonde hair and slate gray eyes smiled at me in a rather pleasant face. It's fine. You just kind of came out of nowhere, I said. He winced.
I guess you're right.
He met my eyes.
Sorry.
It's fine, I muttered, before turning back to the painting, my shoulders growing tense. I didn't like how close he was.
Are you dating Ethan Turner?
He asked. I shot him a look. Why are you asking? Who was this guy? He looked sheepish.
I just wanted to warn you about him. He's a player.
I gaped at him for a full minute before I could say a word. That is none of your business. He looked away from me.
I know. I just wanted to warn you.
He gestured over his shoulder toward where Ethan had gone.
He's dated a lot of girls and not for very long.
I had enough. First off, that's one of my best friends you're talking about. Second, I don't know you, so why would I give a damn what you think?
You okay, beautiful?
Ethan's strained voice had me turning. Ethan moved between me and blonde boy. Yeah, I'm fine, I assured him. Ethan met blonde boy's eyes.
Don't you have something else to do, David?
Ethan asked pointedly before turning his back on the taller boy. He handed me one of the headsets.
Let's go check out the rest of the museum.
His voice was still strained when he spoke to me. David must have really bothered him. I took his hand and tugged him with me further into the museum. David didn't follow. For the rest of the visit, Ethan was quiet. I missed my usual Snoopy. We were having lunch in one of the city parks. Everyone from the field trip was scattered in groups here and there with their brown-bagged lunches. Ethan and I sat off to the side in the shade of a pine tree. I was sitting next to Ethan in the middle of eating my sandwich when I decided to ask him, Ethan, who was that guy in the museum? Ethan finished chewing before he answered.
That was David Harris.
He looked out over the lawn.
I dated his sister Olivia for a couple weeks during the summer.
Wow, and he's still pissy about it? I asked as I opened my carrot sticks. Ethan put his half-eaten sandwich down.
It didn't end well.
I bumped my shoulder into his. He lifted his head to meet my eyes. What happened? He sighed as he began twirling the silver rings on his fingers.
She wasn't the most stable person.
He looked out at the large lawn. What do you mean by stable? I asked, before taking a bite of carrot.
Things got strange right off,
he said dryly.
She started talking about conversations we'd never had, movies we'd never seen. She even said I climbed in her bedroom window to sleep with her.
He met my eyes.
I never slept with her, and I still don't even know where she lives.
My eyebrows went up. Wow. He continued.
She got weirder as time went on, so I broke it off.
Damn, I said, surprised. So why is Big Brother still pissy about it? Ethan sighed as he looked down at his lunch.
She started hurting herself, using lighters to burn her hair. Her parents found out and got her help. They eventually figured out what was wrong. She ended up going to a hospital for some kind of treatment. Now they medicate her and homeschool her to control her schedule and keep her level.
And he blames you? I couldn't believe that. He shrugged.
I don't exactly have the best record with girls.
Yeah, but she was mentally ill. Him blaming you for that is majorly fucked up, I snapped. I began looking through the crowd to find David. Ethan turned and grinned at me.
Thanks, Lexi.
For what? I asked, absently, still looking.
For wanting to find him and tell him off,
he said casually. Busted. I stopped looking to turn back to him. I wouldn't do that, I said innocently. He chuckled.
You would, and you know it.
Well, no one messes with my friends, I mumbled as I went back to eating my lunch. My face warmed under his gaze. He wrapped his arm around me and gave me a squeeze. Everyone pack up. It's time to get on the road, Mrs. Archer announced as she fluttered around the lawn. We both got to our feet and tossed our lunches before climbing into the bus. I sat on the inside this time. We went back to talking about music as we headed back to Spring Mountain. Chapter 8. Monday afternoon. I woke up surrounded by spicy cologne. A heartbeat was under my ear when I realized there was a weight across my chest, holding me. Something breathing was buried in my hair. I opened my eyes slowly to find my knees against the side of the bus. I was somehow lying across Ethan's lap and against his chest at the same time. I tried to move and found I couldn't. Ethan, I mumbled. Whatever was in my hair disappeared.
Yeah,
he said, his voice sleepy. How did I get here? I asked, rubbing my cheek against his shirt.
You fell asleep and almost climbed in my lap to get a snuggle,
he told me, waking up a bit more. Yeah, that sounded like me. Oh, sorry, I said, rubbing my eyes.
I like snuggling you, beautiful,
he reminded me. I smiled as he let go of me so I could sit up. We were back in town and pulling into the school parking lot. Well, you're very easy to snuggle, I countered. He snorted. I stretched as we stopped. Everyone grabbed their bags and started to get off the bus. Several girls shot us curious looks as they walked by. I rolled my eyes and ignored them. We got off the bus last, then began walking across the parking lot to our cars.
I'll see you over at Miles's,
Ethan said. I'm heading over after I pick up Hades, I told him. Instead of going to the gym today, Miles thought it would be better to work out at his house. But first, I needed to get Hades. I climbed into the Blazer, then headed home. I wasn't looking forward to today's lesson. Isaac was going to teach me grappling today, and Miles thought privacy would be better. I didn't disagree with him. After picking up Hades, I drove over to Miles' house and walked inside. I'm here, I shouted, as I let Hades off his leash. Family room, voices shouted back. Moving into the long hall, I ran into Isaac.
Did you bring your gym bag?
Isaac asked. My pulse picked up. I have some clothes here, I said quietly. I'll go change. I walked down the hall and into my bedroom. I took my time getting ready, braided my hair twice, and triple-checked my shoes. I was stalling, and I knew it. I took a deep breath and left my room, then headed down to the basement with Hades at my side. Everyone was waiting outside the weight room. Most of them had changed into their gym clothes, but not Zeke. "Are you not coming in?" I asked. He shook his head, his face like stone. I looked to the others who took the hint and headed into the weight room. I waited until the door was closed before looking up to meet his eyes. "Why?" He clenched and unclenched his jaw.
"Do you really think it's a good idea for me to be in there when one of them is pinning you and acting like they're choking you?"
he growled softly, his voice thick. I reached out and took his hand in mine. "Good point," I said quietly. Isaac was planning on teaching me how to get out of the holds Clay Orden had used on me. It really wasn't a good idea to have Zeke in there. He squeezed my hand, making me look up to meet his eyes again.
"You're probably going to have a flashback, or at the very least, flashes of the cabin,"
he reminded me.
"Take breaks and take your time."
His eyes began to glow.
"But if it gets to be too much, you stop."
I nodded, but that wasn't enough for him.
"You hear me?"
"I hear ya," I whispered. He took a deep breath, gave my hand a final squeeze, then let go.
"I'll be out here with Hades when you're done,"
he muttered as he walked by me. I took a deep breath and headed for the weight room door. I looked over my shoulder. Zeke was there, sitting on the stairs, his elbows braced on his legs, petting Hades as he watched me. I had the urge to walk over and hug him. I reined it in and just gave him a small smile before going inside. The room was filled with tension as I closed the door behind me. I moved to the corner with the mat where the others were waiting. I clapped my hands loudly. "So let's get to it," I said cheerfully. The guys gave nervous laughs. I walked onto the mat. "Okay, who's choking me?" I smiled at them.
"I thought we'd start with Asher. He's bigger than you, but not Orden's size,"
Miles suggested. I nodded, licked my lips nervously, and swung my arms. Asher stepped onto the mat and moved around me.
"Isaac is going to give you instructions, Allie,"
Asher said, before touching my shoulder. I nodded.
"Okay, I'm going to grab you,"
he warned. Asher's arms moved around me and put me in a chokehold gently. Immediately, my pulse picked up. My stomach lurched. Sweat rolled down my spine as I took a deep, shaking breath. Asher dropped his arms from me instantly and touched my arms.
"Allie, breathe,"
Asher told me as he stepped around me.
"I don't think I'm going to work."
Miles nodded. I closed my eyes and sighed. "Sorry, Ash."
"Nothing to be sorry about, Allie girl,"
Asher reassured me.
"We'll just try someone else. The technique will transfer. We just wanted you to have practice with someone a lot bigger than you."
"Isaac?" Miles suggested.
"With you giving instructions from behind her, it might work better."
Isaac nodded, his eyes running over me. He came onto the mat and walked around me.
"Okay, Red,"
he began.
"I'm going to put you in a chokehold, but not really."
Isaac's voice was soothing as he stepped up behind me. He put his hand on my shoulder and gave me a squeeze. I took a deep breath and let it out slowly. When I was ready, I nodded. Isaac slowly moved his arms around me, placing his forearm against my throat. I took a deep breath. His lime scent calmed my racing heart. This was Isaac. He'd never hurt me. I focused on what he was saying.
"Now, Lexi, the first thing you need to do is breathe. You're going to grab my forearm, pull it down as you bend forward, and turn a little into me."
I reached up and pulled on his forearm, bending over and turned into his body.
"Good. That'll give you air. Now you're going to go apeshit."
My nerves started to ease.
"You're going to stomp my foot, hit the groin, elbow to the gut, just wail on me."
I pretended to stomp on his foot, hit his groin, and gently tapped his stomach with my elbow.
Now that I'm hurting, you're going to grab my forearm at your neck with both hands and move under my arm and back, twisting my arm as you slip my grip.
I did as he said. In the end, Isaac was bent over and I held him in an arm lock.
In this position, you can break my arm, but I'd rather you kick the attacker, then push him away and run.
I did as he said. When I reached the other side of the mat, I wasn't as shaky as before. This actually helped. I could get out of a chokehold now. Isaac stood up and eyed me.
How are you feeling?
Miles asked. Better. Less jumpy, I admitted, my voice going raspy. I walked over to the side of the mat and took a drink of my water bottle.
Good. Then let's stay with Isaac.
Miles decided. No one argued.
If you're feeling all right, I'd like to get it into your muscle memory.
I nodded and went to stand in front of Isaac again. For over half an hour, Isaac worked slowly with me to make sure I got it down without triggering me. When it was time for our next exercise, Miles sent Ethan and Asher a look. The two left the weight room without a word.
Red, how are you feeling?
Isaac asked. I took stock. I actually felt better than I had at the beginning of the lesson. Good, actually, I told them. Miles came to join us on the mat.
Lexi, do you remember what position you were in when we broke into the cabin?
Miles asked gently, in his silky, smooth timbre. I thought about it, ran through my memories, then shook my head. I remember the groin hit, then trying to curl up, but I couldn't. I remember how heavy he was, then just... I didn't have to finish.
He was in an extremely dominant position.
Isaac took a breath, then told me...
He was between your legs with most of his weight on top of you while he had his hands around your neck.
I looked away and nodded. Yeah, that sounded right. Isaac continued.
So in order to teach you how to get out of that, I'm going to need...
To put me in that position, I finished for him. He nodded. I took a deep breath and let it out slowly. I could do this. It was Isaac. He'd pinned me before and I was okay. He'd make sure I knew it was him. That's why you sent the others out, I guessed. Miles nodded.
I thought it would be easier without them watching.
I nodded as I bit the bottom corner of my lip. Good call.
So when you're ready, Lexi,
Isaac told me softly. I looked down at the mat and took several deep breaths. When I was ready, I went to the center of the mat and lay down. Isaac cursed under his breath as he moved to my feet and knelt down.
Lexi, we need you not to close your eyes and focus that this is Isaac.
Miles began.
Focus on where you are and what's going on.
I took several deep breaths before I looked to Isaac. He was pale and looked vaguely like he was going to be sick. I sent him a reassuring smile. Let's do it, I said in a funny voice, trying to make him feel better. Isaac gave me a half smile.
Okay, we're doing this one part at a time,
Isaac announced.
I'm going to scoot up until my knees are behind your calves.
He waited until I nodded. Isaac knee-walked closer, then shifted my legs so he was practically pressed against me. He stayed leaning back on his legs. I had the insane urge to giggle. Isaac's eyes met mine.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I barely managed to keep the giggle out of my voice.
All right, now. I'm going to put some of my weight on you. I'll hold myself off you so we can judge how you're doing.
I bit back a smile and nodded. I don't know why I found this so funny. Isaac leaned over me, bracing his arms by my shoulders, while slowly lowering his weight against my lower body. What? No foreplay? I asked. I couldn't help it. Isaac snorted. Miles didn't even crack a smile. Oh, come on! That was funny! Miles shook his head. I looked back up to Isaac, who was fighting a smile.
Lexi, now I'm going to rest my hands on your shoulders on both sides of your neck. You'll have my full weight then. I don't want to put my hands on your neck until we're going through the move.
I nodded. Isaac moved his hands like he said he would. His weight doubled, pressing me into the mat. I had a small flash. The memory of being pressed into the floorboards washed through me. I took several deep breaths, focusing on Isaac's hair. That blue Cookie Monster hair. I bit back another giggle.
Lexi, how are you feeling?
Miles asked. Like Isaac here owes me dinner and a movie, I threw out. Miles sighed as Isaac started laughing and I snickered. When I calmed down, I answered, I had a flash, but he weighs a lot less, and so... Not so bad, I explained in a surprised voice. Isaac smiled.
Good. Now I'm going to put my hands on your throat. What you're going to do is grab my wrists hard, then bring your legs up over my shoulders, locking your ankles behind me. You want my head locked between your knees. This is going to put me in a hold, okay?
I raised an eyebrow. Is this legit? Because now I'm starting to question this whole move.
Yes, it's legitimate.
Miles assured me as Isaac chuckled. When Isaac was calm again, I nodded that I was ready.
1, 2, 3.
Isaac put his hands on my neck. Fear and the urge to swing filled me, but I kept my eyes open and focused on that blue hair. I wrapped my hands around his wrists with a hard grip, then raised my legs until they were over his shoulders with his head between my knees. I locked my ankles tight and squeezed his head with my knees.
Good. Now thrust your hips to keep me down.
I lifted my hips gently, noticing how he was forced down.
Now you're in control,
Isaac said. Isaac shifted, moving me over the mat in different directions to prove he couldn't get out. I focused on his voice.
Now don't do this hard, but you'd thrust your hips, then you would yank my wrists to the sides as hard as you can. This can break my arms.
I barely tugged at his wrists.
Good. Now my arms are probably broken. Brace one foot on the floor and shift to your side under me.
I did as he said.
Now brace your foot on my hip and shove me.
I followed his instructions and got him away from me.
Now if you need to, kick your way free. Get to your feet and run.
I made the motions he said, scrambled to my feet, and moved off. I stood for a second with my back to them as I took deep breaths. Flashes of the cabin kept coming to me, but I kept my eyes open and focused on my breathing. When I was ready and had control again, I turned back to them. They waited patiently, watching me. Okay, let's go again. That night, after filling Rory in on the cemetery, dinner, and my shower, I lay down on my bed after shoving Hades over. I had to get back to the Vale to make an alarm. I had put it off long enough. I pushed everything else from my mind and took a deep, calming breath. It was time to get to work. I closed my eyes, focused, and dropped down. The Vale was its usual shell of itself. Okay, time to build an alarm. I crossed my arms over my chest. How the hell was I going to do that? I looked around the Vale for a clue. I eyed the foggy, thick walls, then looked up at the way. An idea sparked. What if I put up an additional barrier to the Vale? If I kept it paper thin, then they wouldn't know it was even there. I liked the idea, but what about the rest of the alarm? I tapped my fingers against my arm and tried to figure it out. I could make a string of will to the center and create an actual connection to an alarm there. But would it work? Only one way to find out. I moved to the Vale's east wall. I closed my eyes and dropped my barriers. The Vale's energy moved through me. I visualized what I wanted to do, then opened my eyes. I reached out my hand until I was almost touching the wall with my palm out and lowered my hand. My skin vibrated as energy moved through me, flowing down to the ground and up the wall until it barely touched the way. To be sure, I gave the energy instructions. As time winds on, souls come and go. Allow all who would pass while letting me know. I whispered as I began to move clockwise. The gold light moved with me as if I was moving a giant curtain on a stage. I was completely focused on what I was doing. I kept whispering the incantation, concentrating on what I needed. As I hit the three-quarter mark, I started to sweat. This was a marathon with focus. I had never held it this long. By the time I reached the east wall again, I was breathing heavy. Okay, I got that done. And that was just the start. I moved to the center. Now for the alarm. I grinned as an image came to mind. I closed my eyes and focused. I pictured a stone pillar, standing tall in the veil with a huge foghorn at its top. Energy flowed through me as the ground shook. I opened my eyes, still holding that image, to watch a circular gray stone pillar burst from the ground and stretch halfway to the way. I let go of the image as a large white and red foghorn appeared on top. I took a deep breath and let it out. Okay, next part. I turned to the west wall, then focused on what I needed. A thick line of energy appeared at the wall, floating in the air until it reached the foghorn. I willed it to attach, then let the image go. It stayed where it was. Yes! I raised my arm in victory, smiling from ear to ear. I quickly did the same for the other areas, 8 lines in all. Now, how to connect it to me? A line? That would work, but I won't be here the whole time. What if I coupled that with an incantation? Huh. It was worth a shot. I conjured a line at the back of the foghorn, then brought it to me. Before I attached it, I said, "As is above, let it be so below. I bind this alarm to me, mind, body, and soul." Then I attached the line to my chest. I let the image go, and the line still remained. I stepped back, testing the give of the line. As I circled the veil, I felt nothing. No tug, no pain. I was starting to wonder if this would work. Well, there was one way to find out. I smirked. "Zahur!" I shouted. "I need a sec." It was only a few heartbeats before she popped into the veil. The foghorn went off. We both covered our ears as my bones shook. She eyed me as we dropped our hands. "Your alarm, I take it," she asked. "Pretty neat, huh?" I said, looking back up at the pillar. "Definitely clever," she admitted. I turned back to her. "So, do you think this line will stay when I'm in the physical world?" I asked. She eyed the line, then the connection, which required her to get more up close and personal than I liked. When she was done examining my connection, she backed up. "That's solid. If anything enters the veil, you'll know it." She smiled at me. "Good work." I made a dramatic bow. "Thank you," she chuckled, then raised her head, her face serious. "I need to go," she stated a second before she popped out. That was interesting. With my work done, I pulled myself out. I opened my eyes to my dark bedroom. Tired, I snuggled down into my blankets and fell asleep. Scratching woke me up. I stayed completely still as I opened my eyes. Hades wasn't in bed. Sitting up, I found him scratching at the door. A whine told me something was wrong. I got up and crossed the room. When I opened the door, Hades bolted downstairs. My heart slammed as memories surged forward. The last time he'd done this, Clay had been outside the house. I took a deep breath and stepped into the hallway. Light glowed up the stairwell from downstairs. I let out a deep breath. It was probably Rory. Wondering why he was up, I headed downstairs. Only it wasn't Rory. Tara was on the couch, her knees pulled to her chest, with her arms around them. Hades rested his head on her knees, forcing her to look at him. She wiped her face, then gave in and gave Hades' ears a scratch. It was impossible to resist that face he makes when he wants to help. From the stairs, I could see her nose was red, her eyes puffy from crying. I went still. Tara and I didn't have the best relationship, but she was my cousin, and she was crying. I couldn't just leave her alone. I walked into the living room and sat down on the other side of Hades. Tara's head snapped up. "What do you want?" she asked, her voice cracking. "Are you okay?" I asked, quietly. She wiped her face again and focused on petting Hades. I stayed put. Sometimes people didn't need to talk about something. They just needed to not be alone.